Good morning to each and every one of you. Lane, Betty, and all them, they wanted me to tell you how much they wanted to be here, but the other reasons they couldn't. And they wanted me to tell you they love you, and they miss not being with y'all. The reason I wanted to, nothing but the blood, I worked at KIA, and what we done, I built the doors on the KIA, doors, and every 2 hours you swapped places. We had 7 different ones we worked in, and that was on my mind. I sung it, nothing but blood. I imagine whoever was working beside me was glad that 2 hours was up, because then they wouldn't have to be standing beside me and they didn't have to listen to the song no more. And I don't know why it was on my mind. If you ever had anything on your mind, it just, and that was on it. And I didn't know much of it, just the very first few of it, so I done that. So that's the reason why I want it. But there's something else that I thought about a lot. After I joined the church, I got to reading the Bible. And I read John. That's John's Gospel. That's where I started reading. And there was a chapter in John's Gospel that touched me, and I read it every day before I started to work. Every day I got up, that's the first thing I done, I read it. And I always looked at it like this, you know, as Peter stepped out on the water to walk to Jesus, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on it. But as soon as he takes his eyes off of Jesus and puts it on the storm, the vibe, or the storm there, he went down. And I guess that was sort of a comfort to me, because I was 62 years old when I went to work with KIA, and like a lady told me, she said, "What in the world do they hire somebody as old as you are?" Well, I preached her funeral here not long ago, and I turned around with her, and she worked at the bank. I said, "You know what? I asked that same question. What in the world are they doing hiring a 62-year-old man?" But I enjoyed it. I worked there 4 years. I retired from it. But like I say, we swapped shifts every 4 weeks, so it didn't matter. I got up and read this verse, and this verse always touched me. And now, I don't know how many times I've read it, but it's John 17th chapter. John 17th chapter, and the first part of it, Jesus is praying for himself, to glorify through his Father. The second part, he's praying for his disciples. But down through the rest of it, he's praying for all of us. He's praying for all of his people. And that's what there was a certain verse in there, because I'll get to it in just a second. There's a certain verse in there that always touched me. And you know, I've always come to the point where, you know, we read a lot of books. But when we read God's Word, we should read it with the heart. But if we read a regular book, we just read it. But when we pick up God's Word, it should be read from the heart. And I guess that one day when I read that one part, that touched me. But I thought about it as I was preparing to come over here, and I wanted to look at it. And verse 20 down to 24. I want to look at this. Verse 20 down to 24. It said, "Now pray I for these alone. For I pray not, wait a minute. For I pray, for neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thy Father are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that thou world may know, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray. Our blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee and humble ourselves down to thank You, Lord, for the many blessings You have given us these 2 days. Lord, You have blessed us with the spiritual food that we needed to prepare our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that we let the fertile part of our thoughts and the fertile part of our hearts be filled with the seed of Your Word, Lord. We give You praise, honor, and glory for all You have blessed us with. And Lord, I thank You for the love that You have shown each one of us. We give You praise and glory, honor for this, and for this Bethel spot we're able to come and worship the true and living God. Blessed Heavenly Father, there'd be many here with our sickness or some other reason. Lord, we lift them up to You. Watch over and care for them. And blessed Heavenly Father, as we leave here this day, go with us, give us traveling grace, see us safely back home. Lord, again, be with me that I rightly divide Thy words, speak it in a way that will give praise, honor, and glory to You. And again, Lord, thank You for all You blessed us with in life. In Christ's holy and precious name, we do most humbly pray. Amen.
In here, back in the 19th chapter, I'm going to look it in. It says, for Thy sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, when He had left heaven's glory, He was perfect. He walked His life here on this earth, He was perfect. He sanctified Himself when He hung on that cross, when He gave every ounce of blood to you and I. And brothers and sisters, we, as a child of God, should look to Him for guidance and strength. That's how we can glorify Him, by loving and forgiving other people and walking with Him. Brothers and sisters, I said just a while ago, you know, we read books of all kinds, but this book right here reads you and I. It reads us. It's a mirror to you and I. You know, the Lord was holy whenever He left the sanctity of heaven. But in verse 20, He says, pray for the church. You look what He was saying. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through Thy word. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, never seen Jesus Christ. I've seen the effects of it. The reason I know that's the effect He's had on me, on my life. And the effect I've seen Him have on other people's lives. And how He loves His church. He was praying for His church. Others, you know, He prayed for His disciples. But He also prayed for the others. That's you and I today. Brothers and sisters, that's one thing I think we all need to do. And think about praying for our churches. I've seen our churches go from pretty good size down to nothing. Pray for them. Jesus prayed. He prayed for them. Prayed for you and I. He set the example how He walked here on this earth. Praying for the church, you know, and that's what Paul done. Paul prayed for his church all the time. In Romans 1:9, he said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. How many of us pray for the churches? All of our churches. That's one of the things I do. I ask my congregation, when they pray for the church. Pray for you and I. Pray for the ones that sit. Brothers and sisters, He was praying for all of us. His Word. His Word is what opens my eyes to see Him. It speaks to my heart. That's the reason I say when you read God's Word, you read it with your heart, because that's where it speaks to you at. That's where it's at in your heart, in your mind. Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He set many examples for you and I. And I've often thought about it when I told my congregation before. One thing always bothered me. It says, love thy neighbor and pray for that and love their enemies. And I often wondered, how can you love your enemies? He loved me and I was an enemy for him for a long time. For a long time. Then I understand. We can. In John 20:29 says, Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and believed. And like I say, brothers and sisters, I have not seen him, but he's as real to me as I have. It's just like I have never seen the resurrection. But it's real to me. It's real to me as if I have already passed through. I believe it with all my heart. And it said in 21, in verse 21, it says, that thou all may be one as thou art. Brothers and sisters, we are one. We're one in Jesus Christ. He is in you and I. And that's what I've enjoyed about this couple of days here. Because we come together as one in our Lord and Savior. Come to preach His Word. Come to hear His Word proclaimed. Our heart should be at a fertile ground. Our heart should be the seed bed. That seed bed falls within us. It should be the strength of each and every one of us. And they said, Father, in me and I in thee, and that thou also may be one in us, that the world may know, may believe that thou hast sent me. Brothers and sisters, that's us. Glorifying God, not only in our walk with Him, but every time we out in the public. You know, I told my congregation, that's one thing we all need to know. If we don't lay our faith down at the door and pick it up when we come in, lay it down when we go out. That should be a light that shines within us. It should shine outward. It should be the thing that drives you and I. The Word of God is strong. It's the strength of each one of us. Like I say, I read John 17 many, many times. And it gave me strength a lot of times. But it wasn't the Word as much as it was it spoke to my heart. It strengthened me in my inner part. Those are the things we need. We are amongst those people today that have believed that we have not seen Him or death. Do you know, the thing about it is, I've always thought about when Christ died for our sins. When He hung on that cross, that 100% man and that 100% God. That 100% God knew what that 100% man was fixing to go through. When He was in Gethsemane sweating at drops of blood, I could understand. I don't understand. My mind can't fathom it, but I see Him. My spiritual eyes see Him as He was in agony. And when they nailed Him to the cross, here was my Lord and Savior. You know, many times in the Bible, they had tried to capture Him and all, and He just moved away. But at that precise time, it was time for God, Christ to go to the cross. They put their hands on Him and carried Him. And as He was being nailed, He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was the love that He was showing. But the Spirit of Almighty God in us is what He has placed in us. He has done that, and He has touched our heart, and He's made us one. Made you a Jew, Gentile. That's one thing about all of us come from different backgrounds of life. You ever thought about it? But we're all in Jesus Christ. We're one in Him. All of us got the same DNA. We're going to die. Brothers and sisters, He was born and He died on the cross. I've always thought about when He was nailed to that cross. My sins was nailed to that cross. When they poured all those sins upon Him, my sins was in Him. When He was laid in that grave, my sins was put there too. I am a sinner, saved by the grace of Almighty God. That's the reason why it's always touched my heart when I read about Paul when he says, it's by the grace of God I am who I am. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, by the grace of God, I am who I am. It's not what Larry Wheeler is. It's what Christ has done in him. It's not what you are. It's what Christ does in you. How he changes our life. My life, I was walking this way. He turned me around to walk that way. That way towards him. That's where it's at. That's the God I serve. I was out there a few days ago. Well, it was Saturday before last. Larry Jr. said, "Daddy, a car just pulled up out of the yard." Well, I walked out there, and when I walked around the edge of the thing, I knew who it was. Two ladies got out. The guy that was driving, he said, "Is it?" And she walked up to me, and she says, well, she told me her name, but don't ask me her name because I'm not good on names. I get them off the bat. I know my name because I did do it 75 years, so I know it. Anyway, I told her, and I said, "I'm a pastor at Ozark." "You are?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What are?" I said, "Primitive Baptist." "Primitive Baptist?" I said, "Yep." I said, "We believe in one true living God. We believe that He's the one that changes us, and we don't do it ourselves." She said, "Well, do you know where heaven's going to be at?" And I sort of looked at her. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You know heaven's going to be here on earth." And she showed me in John's song where it says heaven on earth. And I looked at her. I said, "Well, lady, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be just as honest as I can with you. That is one thing I don't argue with nobody about." I said, "You ever stop to think that you argue that?" I said, "Even people in my denomination can tell me heaven's up yonder, heaven's here, heaven's right there. I would not argue with them." You know why? Because where my Lord and Savior is, that's my heaven.
Amen.
It don't matter where it's at. When He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." Brothers and sisters, that's Him. That's where my heaven's going to be at, with Him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. Where heaven's at. Heaven is wherever He's at. And like I told my congregation, it's not the pearly gates, not the streets of gold, not the mansions. That's not what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the day I can stand before and say, "Thank you, loving me. Why did He love me?" But you know, that's my heaven. And that's what I told her. I said, "Lady, I won't argue that with you." I said, "Because my heaven is with my Lord and Savior. And if He goes to prepare a place for me, that's where I'll be at." But anyway, that's what I tried to tell her. You know, things like that doesn't bother me. Because He loves us. He loves us enough to come, leave the sanctity, the glory of heaven, to come to this earth. And to take my sins upon Him. To pay something He didn't know. That I could not pay. He paid it. When He hung on that cross and He said it was finished, that left nothing for me to do. Only thing I could do is read His Word, pray to Him, and love Him. Because He first loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says in here in verse 22, and it says, "The glory which Thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." You think about it. We are one. We're one in Him. My righteousness is His righteousness. My righteousness, mine, is as filthy rags. That's my righteousness. But His is what it is. I think a lot of times about, you know, Jesus, as He walked here on this earth, as Peter and all them walked with Him, the sermons they heard, the joy they must have had to hear that. Because, brothers and sisters, when I pick up God's Word and read His Word, the joy I get out of here, those things that He has put in here for me to see. And to open these blind eyes. He's still opening blind eyes as He did then, because He opened mine. This right here is what always touched me, and reason why I really look at this part here is in verse 23. It says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. Brothers and sisters, that word perfecter, it doesn't mean perfect. It means complete. And brothers and sisters, when we have Jesus Christ and the fellowship with Him and the fellowship with His all of His children, we are complete. Mm-hmm. We're complete in Him. And it says, perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and has loved. And this is what I wanted y'all to look at and think about. This right here, it always touched. Actually, once I'd read this many, many times. Many times. But I sat down and I read this. It says, and Thou and has loved them. Think about what He's saying, them. As Thou hast loved me. Brothers and sisters, you don't stop and think about what He's saying now. He loves me. He loves me as much as He did His Son. I can't see it. So I'm a sinner. It always touched me, and I thought about it. About Him loving me as much as he did His Son. But you ever stop to think, we are sons and daughters through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That shed blood is what's cleansed us. That shed blood is what brought us to Him. Brothers and sisters, that shed blood, when He looks at each of us, He doesn't see the sinful Larry Wheeler. He doesn't see our sin. He sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Or am I perfect? No, I'm not. I'll never be perfect on this side of the cross. I've always thought about it. How the joy will be when we are in heaven. And I believe Paul, when he said, absent from body, present with the Lord, I believe that is in his heart and mind to be with Almighty God. The joy will be. No more pain, no more death. And I had never thought of it this way. But a lady was telling me, an old line preacher told him, says, when you die, you go from the land of the dead to the land of the living. And that's true. You stop and think about it. We go from the land of the dead to the land of the living. We think about how He loved you and I. Loved you and I because we are sons of His. Look in Romans 8, 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Brothers and sisters, that's our sonship with our Lord and Savior. The joy we have, the peace we have in our hearts, the joy that knowing that we're His, knowing that our Lord and Savior loved us and has forgiven us. John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God commanded His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I've often thought about it. While we were yet sinners, I'm still a sinner. I'm far from that. There was another one in Philippians. And it's saying we're sinners, but I tell you what. And as I told you, I'm not perfect. God is always working in us. He works in us all the time. He's still working in me. I'm an unfinished product. Because it tells us in Philippians 1:8, it says, being comforted of this one very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. We think about how Jesus loved us and how He's forgiven us of our sins. Our Heavenly Father loved us as He did His Son. He sent His Son to die for you and I, that we would be with Him in paradise. The joy we have to know that one day we will walk the streets of gold. One day we will be with our loved ones. Those are the joys that we have, the peace we have in our hearts. Verse 24, it says, "From Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me," and listen to this, "be with me where I am." He didn't have no specification where he was going to be at. He didn't say a certain place. But as he said, it says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am." And that's the reason why I say, brothers and sisters, it's a joy to know that He's prepared a place for us. That this is not our home. That we are pilgrims as we pass through. You know, he one time in Philippians 2, he also says the joy, you know, for the cross and all that, the joy on the cross. And I always wondered, how could it be a joy? The suffering on the pains and all as he hung on that cross, or as he was going through the cross. How his people, the Jews, treated him. How he was treated before he was ever nailed to the cross. He suffered probably more pain before he got on the cross than the nails were caused to him. How could he have called that a joy? I never understood it. For a long time I didn't. But it finally opened it up to my eyes. He wasn't talking about this side of the cross. He was talking about that side. He was making a home for you and I. He had come to pay the debt. He had already prepared you and I a home. When he hung on that cross, it was for you and I. And that's the reason why, where I'm at, they can be there with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory. Brothers and sisters, I hold His glory every day in my heart. The glory of Almighty God loving me and you. Putting that spirit in there. Ain't nothing like I told them ladies, ain't nothing I've done to deserve what I got. But we talk about far better than we deserve. It's far, far better than I deserve. Because He loved me as I was. And I've often thought about it. I'm a weak individual. That's always been my Achilles heel. If I'm a weak person inside and all. But as I read that where He wept, my Lord and Savior wept. He's far stronger than I ever tried, dare to think. He's strong enough, He gives me strength enough to walk each day. It's through His love and His forgiveness of my sin, Him washing us clean, Him praying for us as we come together as a unit, one under Jesus Christ, Jew, Gentile, we're all one in Christ. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me. I am where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And brothers and sisters, I think about that. He loved me before the foundation of the world. He knew me before the foundation of the world. And I've always said, as He hung on that cross between heaven and earth, He looked down through the aisles of time and He knew each one of us. My finite mind don't understand. But like that lady is talking about, she turned around and said, "We got free will." I said, "Yeah, you have." I said, "But predestination." "Yeah, but we still got free will." I said, "When they were sitting there and they wanted to release Jesus and they said, 'Crucify Him, crucify Him.' That was their free will. They could have released Him. But brothers and sisters, He knew the hour, the second, that He would take His last breath. When He said, 'I commend my spirit into Thy hand,' brothers and sisters, it was finished. He showed His love for you and I. Do we as Christians, really and truly, do we show our love for Him as we should? I tell you, a lot of times I don't. I told you, I'm not perfect. And a lot of times I fail. Have we got idols that we might put in front of Him? We got to stop and think, have we? It ain't got to be a man-made. It's something on watching television or something like that. I've often told my congregation, and I tell myself every day, if you have to stay up an hour later to meditate upon Word, you know, meditate in the Word of God means to study. That's what we should do, is take meditate upon it. How do you grow close to a friend or anybody? You learn to know, you get to knowing them, do you not? How do you get to know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Almighty God, and you feed? You feed them with the Word of God. That's the seed bed. That's the seed, and this is the bed to put it in. It says, O righteous Father, thy Word has not known thee. Why do they not know him? His words wasn't of the world. His words was not of the world. It's right here in verse 14, it says, in John 17:14, listen to what it says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. And listen to what he says, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Brothers and sisters, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. This is not my home. But I'm looking forward to that day when I make that last travel. And when I cross that chilling waters, I believe with all my heart that rod, that staff, that it all will come from me will be my Lord and Savior. I believe that with all my heart. That the last breath I take here will be the first one I take there. I will go from the land of the dead to the land of the living. And there I will be with him in paradise. And it says in 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And brothers and sisters, it is. I can say I've never seen my Lord and Savior. I see him with the spiritual eyes. I see him with the heart. And when I pick up God's Word, it speaks to me. It speaks of him. From Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. In Genesis, first prophet talked about. Let's see, Genesis
3:15.
Yeah, here it is, right here. I got it on my hand. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Brothers and sisters, he was prophesied about the day of Jesus Christ. If you ever stop to think about it, it says her seed. The devil mentions the man's seed. It's her. He had an earthly mother, but he had a heavenly father. Jesus Christ come for one purpose and one purpose only. To die on the cross for you and I. He set example after example for you and I to follow. And I have declared unto them that thy name, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that thou lovest wherewith thou hast loved me, that where thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Brothers and sisters, that love that he has shown us radiates from us into all of we come in contact with, to show the love that he has blessed us to have, the love that he has blessed us with, the strength he has given us, the joy, the peace. The world gives us peace, but it takes it away. Christ gives us that peace that's within us. They cannot take it away. Brothers and sisters, they may take this body, they may take everything else I have, but they can't take the Spirit that he has given me away. And that's the joy I have to know that I'll be with him one day. When? I don't know. But you know, I often told my congregation, that's the one thing I had for years and years, was the fear of death. I did. I literally feared death. But I don't anymore. Because God has shown me, where he is, there will I be also. I go to prepare a place for it. If I go to prepare a place for it, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And brothers and sisters, that's joy in my heart to know that day will come and I will be with him. Think about the joy we'll have. We, as a body of Almighty God, should glorify him every day in our walk of life. We should have joy in our hearts to shine outward. That love he shows us should show more than just around in us. The joy we have, the peace we have, the love he has shown us. I've often said, The Old Testament said it was a type and shadow showing what was coming. The Old Testament said someone's coming. The New Testament says someone's came. Jesus Christ. The Gospel says someone's coming again. He is. He's coming again to receive you and I into Himself. And that would be a joy. We talked about this lady that had gone on to be with the Lord. And we read 1 Thessalonians. It says like it. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, either as they are there, which have no hope. For if we have that Jesus death, and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Brothers and sisters, that's the joy and the peace that we have in our hearts to know that we have a home. We have a home with Him. So brothers and sisters, we should pray for our churches, pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for them. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening to me. God bless you.